This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 251 for Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. Back once again, Megan Townsend. Hello.
Hi, Joel. How are you?
I'm doing great. It is a rainy, rainy fall day, but in the warm kind of stay inside, go to the movies kind of night, and that's exactly what I did. So it was a good day.
Yeah, I was at work and I had school, but yesterday was that for me, except it wasn't raining yesterday. So
yeah, yesterday was really nice, if I remember.
Yeah, it was. It was really warm. I mean, it's really warm today, too.
It's like, warm, yeah.
We're breaking the podcast rule of not talking about weather. But
it happens all the time. I just it's more of a joke now. But and this is the other thing, too, is that like you and I are in the same city, so it matters. Yeah. And that's what Maritimers do. They talk about the weather. That's going to be the topic of conversation from now until March.
it's true. It's like, okay, that snow out there is pretty gnarly. Yeah.
But unless like apocalyptic, it doesn't come up with other guests because, of course, they're in Chicago or Utah or like, you know. And I mean, and Hammond doesn't talk about the weather in Utah because most of the time when he's on in the summer, it's the same.
it doesn't change.
How is it? It's hot. It's the desert. It really doesn't change much.
Meanwhile, ours will change like every half an hour or so. Like, not so much in Nova Scotia, I find. I'm from Alberta, where it's like literally you can have all four seasons in one day. My friend sent me a series of photographs of like the blizzard she got first thing in the morning, and then by 2 o'clock that same afternoon, it was suddenly summer.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to shovel out her car that morning. And then a couple hours later, like, she came home because the roads were so bad. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, now it's like a warm, beautiful summer day.
Yeah.
Alberta is like a weird place.
I think Nova Scotia does that, but not in terms of the entire weather, but the temperature I find around here will flip around. You know, if it's going to rain, it's going to rain like all day long. But I find that it'll be a cold rain or a warm rain to start, and then it'll flip by the time it's over. And I find that that's really frustrating. Especially this time of year, I find really hard, not because of the weather, but because of the whole inside outside, no one got the notice thing. Like I was on, it's really, we both take public transit, so you might be able to identify with this, but you're out waiting for the bus these days and it can be around freezing. So you've got a decent hoodie or sweater or jacket or something to keep warm while you're waiting for the bus for 15 minutes. And then when you get on the bus, it's 8,000 freaking degrees. And the bus driver is there in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. And I've literally heard a bus driver complain over his shoulder to a passenger that was opening up a window on the bus and saying like, hey, well, I'm up here in a t-shirt. And I'm just like, well, you're standing next to an open door or sitting next to an open door all day long as people get on and off your bus. Wear a jacket.
You
know,
yeah.
I've seen them. Yeah. I know they exist. You know, it's part of the uniform. And I don't understand why it has to be so hot on a lot of these buses. Because everybody that's waiting and standing on the bus is in gear for outside. Now, I don't want it to be freezing on the bus. Obviously, it has to be heated to some level. But when I'm riding the bus and there's 30 people on it, it doesn't need to be, you know, super, super warm. And I've found it. So I'm always like, these days it's layers because it's like I walk somewheres and I get halfway there and I take the sweater that I put on that I needed 5 minutes ago off because I'm now hot. You know, then you're sitting and having coffee with somebody and you got to put your sweater on.
It's brutal. I don't know. Like I feel like people crank their heat way too high as well.
Yes.
Like it's like one extreme over the other. It's like either it's freaking freezing or it's borderline sauna.
Yeah.
All at the same time, which is brutal. It's awful. Like, just, I don't know, stick to one. But yeah, no, I get you with the bus thing. It's like, I've been times I've walked to the bus and I'm like, oh, okay. So it's, we're going for Sahara weather in here. Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I find now on the flip side, something I do really enjoy about fall is I'm often too hot, and my apartment can be quite warm. But it is really nice these days to be able to open up a window and get a very cool breeze come in, or and enjoy a cup of coffee, as I did yesterday. Not yesterday, but whatever the last cooler day was. I think it was on the weekend. And
yeah.
I was sitting on my living room couch with a cup of coffee in a hoodie and a pair of jeans, and I was quite comfortable. Like, I wasn't dying, you know.
That's my favorite kind of weather.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't, love that weather.
I don't necessarily like it when it's like super cold. But I, you know, cause I'm also the guy that's walking around with a hoodie and a vest in like January. Cause it's, I don't mind it, but it's when it's like really biting, you know, like into the minus 20s, like then I'm just like, nope, no, not for me. But yeah, it's been nice to kind of get into that kind of fall, mentality. And it's funny, I had a epiphany the other day. I made plans for next Friday. And I went to add it to my calendar. Next Friday is December 1st. When did that happen?
Oh, no. What?
Right?
Oh, no.
Right. I was like, I was about to get on. I was out walking around today because, I mean, you and I both went to the movies this week. And we're going to talk about it in a minute. But I was walking around in Dartmouth Crossing here. And there's a bunch of shops. And everything's all decorated for Christmas. You know, all the lampposts have got wreaths on them and stuff. And I'm walking around rolling my eyes like, God, I'm not in the Christmas mood. And why is this always so early? Blah, 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 blah. It's a month till Christmas.
I know, it's
give
nuts.
Or take a couple of days. I, you know, so I take it all back, all the curmudgeon-y get off my lawn crap that I was, you know, thinking
bah humbug.
As, all the bah humbug, thank you, that I was spewing this afternoon in my head. Perfectly acceptable. A month ahead of, outside of Christmas for businesses to be decorated and celebrating, that's fine. Like, that's normal. I just, for whatever reason, I've always been a December Christmas guy. I don't really get in the mood to even think about it until December.
I 100% agree with you. I have a bit of an issue when people start pulling at Christmas stuff before Remembrance Day, because I think Remembrance Day is such an important thing to really, really honor. So when people start throwing up Christmas trees and, you know, selling Christmas stuff before Remembrance Day, it's like you're overshadowing something that's really crucial and that's really, really important to honor and think about and have, you know, just for all the people who were involved or people who had family who were involved and what have you. But like it's almost like Christmas isn't sacred anymore. You know what I mean? Like my roommates, the company that she works for, they put up all the decorations in the Halifax Shopping Center, which looks beautiful. Like, it's stunning. But it's, like, they did it like 2 hours after Remembrance Day was done, like after like at noon or at 1 o'clock, they were like, all right, Christmas decoration time. And it's like, that's a, I don't know. I just feel like that's a little soon. And I'm with you, like at work, we're already playing Christmas music. And I was sitting there today and I was just like, why? Mm-hmm. Why? And yeah. I wish we could hold it off at least until, like, if you still want to do it in November, at least wait until like Black Friday. I know that it's not like a Canadian thing. It's more of a stateside thing, which is still, great.
It's still kind of an international thing now. Black Friday has unfortunately bled over into a bunch of different markets. I know that I've had some people in England, friends of mine, complain about it. I think the big thing, especially in the US, the Thanksgiving weekend is really like the kickoff of the Christmas season.
No, for sure.
And I feel like that's, I mean, it's, that's this week. So like I feel like that's appropriate.
It's coming. Yeah. Like, see, now is the time that I would be like, it's starting. Okay. Like I get getting ready for Christmas around this time, but like 2 weeks ago, I was like, can we just like enjoy the rest of fall? Maybe like still ride that Halloween high a little bit, because I love Halloween personally. I think it's one of my favorite holidays, but I don't know. Like, and I love Christmas. But by the time Christmas actually rolls around, I'm just like, okay, can we just get this over with already? And I don't, like, I'm like a Scrooge. Like, my mom's like, what happened to you? You've become such a Scrooge. And I'm just like, well, it's everywhere. It's everywhere all the time. And it's so in your face that, like, it's not special anymore. Mm-hmm. And there were, like, I was in Michael's in August. And there were Christmas decorations already starting to get put out in August. And I was like, what? Stop. That's too much. That's going way too far.
Yeah. Get a bigger back room, or don't stock it until
November. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I can, and I can appreciate the the step-by-step process of businesses having to like bleed stuff out. Like, you know, Michael's having to say like, all right, well, it's after Remembrance Day. We don't really want to put this stuff in the front of the store, but we really have to start getting these boxes out and organized. Otherwise, it's going to take us the first 2 weeks of December just to get the stuff out on the floor.
Yeah.
So I can appreciate that. But yeah, I do find the retail sort of aspect. And I mean, it's everything from me walking and seeing fruitcake out in the bakeries, you know, in the grocery stores around Halloween, you know, like, just like, so like you're thinking too early. There's no big sign around it. It's not decorated, but it's just, that's a pile of fruitcake. And then two, you're like, that's going to sit here for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mental note, don't buy the fruitcake from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, don't.
You know, like, just, you know, I mean, granted, a really good fruitcake is probably pickled anyway. But
yeah,
but not the store-bought stuff, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I've got, friends of the family that will, pour the fruit and the rum together Christmas for next Christmas. Like I think they freeze it or they deep refrigerate it or something. Anyway, phenomenal stuff. Really, really nice. And this is where I start to get excited about holidays is the food. I really start thinking ahead to just like turkey dinners and pies and family and stuff like that. Like, that's the kind of stuff I enjoy. It makes me sound terribly old, but as my Instagram will tell anybody, I'm a food driven human. So like I start thinking about lunch right after I finish breakfast. Like, I'm literally rinsing off the plate from toast crumbs going like, what am I going to have for lunch? It's just like, I'm not hungry at all. I'm just thinking like, what's the next escape? Like, what's the next thing? It's too funny.
I like food. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I love food. I love holiday food. I've recently been diagnosed with a lot of food allergies, though, which explain a lot of my, happened. Like, so I'm, found out I'm lactose intolerant. I think I'm slightly gluten intolerant. I'm allergic to mushrooms. I can't process red meat very well. It's all just new stuff that sort of just come up in the last couple months, because I've been having a hard time like I feel gross after I eat food, and I've never really known why. So I've gotten a couple blood tests done, and it's just, so my body's having a hard time processing a lot of things. So I've had to like really eliminate a lot of foods from my diet and like sort myself out again to get to like a healthier eating style. So like, while everyone's like cakes and pies and whatever, I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna have to work around that somewhat and still get my, you know, holiday sugar fix while not partaking in what everyone else is partaking in, just because it's not worth it. Like, I'm going to get sick. I don't want to get sick all over Christmas. So
I would be heartbroken if I didn't have the ability to eat baked goods, but hey, there's nothing wrong with a solid candy cane. I enjoy a good candy cane.
As long as it's like gluten-free flour, which my grandmother has, I think my grandmother's gluten intolerant as well. So she's been like testing out some baking for like gluten-free stuff, and I'm like, yes. And I had like a chocolate loaf that she made the other day, and it's so good, and I'm like, okay, it's fine, I can still handle some of this stuff, which is okay. But I think it's more like a conscious thing to be like moderation as well. So I'm looking at it as like a blessing in disguise. Well, it also kind of sucks. Yeah. It's like, because I eat a lot. I like to eat. I am a foodie by every single, you know, standard. I love food. But now I have to be like, you know, creative, and the foodie in me is just like, great. Now I can just try all sorts of new things, and this is really exciting. So I'm looking at it from a positive perspective.
And there's a lot of options out there now. Cause I find like I can throw a rock into a crowd and I'll hit 10 people that are gluten intolerant. Like
I think gluten-free stuff it's become more of a, so many people have been saying it's like, it's suddenly a fad. It's suddenly all over the place now. But I think it's more of like the scientific, not scientific discovery of it, but it's becoming, more people are becoming aware of it. I think it was always a thing, but it's just now the awareness, the societal awareness around gluten intolerance and around like lactose intolerance, that it's just become suddenly everywhere. So it seems like a fad, but I think it's, you know, it's just us being more heightened and more aware of, you know, what our bodies can actually process, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's how I'm looking at it.
Oh, for sure. And to be clear, like, I didn't mean a fad. I just mean like it seems to be more prevalent, but
maybe
what we're seeing is like when I was a kid, you know, it would be, you know, an adult complaining about indigestion and they'd need Tums, you know, and that would be a lot, and those would be a lot of the commercials that you'd see would be for Tums or Rolaids or, you know, like whatever the thing
was. Pepto-Bismol.
Pepto-Bismol, exactly, which you don't see at all anymore.
No.
But then, you know, but now you've got people say, well, it's not everything that I eat. It's only just this thing. And so maybe, as you said, you know, food science and nutrition and all this kind of stuff comes down to it and says like, oh, hey, by the way, this is a bad thing for you particularly. I would be a very sad puppy if I had to give up bread.
See, I never really ate a lot of bread anyway. I was never really a bread person.
Mm.
I was more of like, I like rice. I don't, that makes probably sounds like the most boring thing in the whole world, but I really, really like rice. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I do.
Yeah. So. I like rice too, but I just, for me, and it's not like I eat a lot of like white bread. I mean, I guess, well, bagels, I guess would count. And I do have a bagel in the morning. But it's just like, it's bread and flour in general. Like, hello, pancakes. I've had gluten-free pancakes. They suck. Like I just, and I don't want it. If those are your only options, then I'm sure they're lovely. But when you have the option of having these, regular fluffy white blueberry pancakes that I make and then staying over at a friend's place and they're talking about their new stone cut flour, gluten-free, something, whatever. And they put, and you're like, oh, good.
Oh,
I have to smile and pretend to not like lose a tooth on this. Like it just, yeah.
In that sense, I'd suck it up, but then I'd like probably have a hard time consuming food throughout the day. Yeah. Anyway.
No, I've had gluten-free muffins. And they're good. You know, like I couldn't really tell you the difference. You know, they're a little bit, but if I didn't know, like if I didn't realize that they were gluten-free ahead of time, then I might, you know, I might not have really noticed. So I feel like there's just some foods that gluten-free really excels at. Like I've had gluten-free brownies, like gluten-free brownies, like God, you can't tell at all.
Yeah, you can't.
You know,
it's chocolate.
If you're just in it for the chocolate. But
anyway. My mom made like zucchini brownies. Anyway, sorry, we're getting off track here.
Zucchini brownies. Yeah. I made a comic about zucchini brownies. My mother has made zucchini brownies before. The punchline is that they taste like bog, and I can't. I was eating the zucchini brownie and remembering the bog of eternal stench from Labyrinth, and that's all I could think of was like, Ludo, smell bad. Like I can't. Zucchini brownies, can't do it. No, there are two things that shall not meet, zucchini and chocolate, and just not.
Oh boy.
I like zucchini. It is its own thing. It's a good vegetable. It should stay a vegetable. It has no place in any kind of dessert form whatsoever.
I agree with you. I had it. I was like, Mom, this tastes funny. And she's like, you can't even tell. You're just saying that. Because she kept watching me while I was eating it. I'm like, you've done something. Now it just tastes weird.
Yeah.
So zucchini. Yeah. Anyway.
And well, that's the thing. Is like there are a few very specific vegetables. I will say zucchini, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and green beans. And they're all green and they taste like a green vegetable, which is
fine. They taste green.
I like green vegetables, but not at dessert time.
Like, no, I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm not going to roll my broccoli in chocolate. Thanks very much. So after that entire food trip, let's go on a different trip. Let's go and talk about a movie that has been a long time coming for me, because that's it. Thor Ragnarok is what we're going to talk about. Both you and I have seen it in the last 2 days.
Yep.
We are going to spoil it. So if you've not seen Thor, then tune out now. But honestly, it's been out for 3 weeks. So
yeah.
I feel like if you haven't seen it now, you're probably not going to. I was just busy and I couldn't get to it. But anybody that was excited to see it probably saw it already, and it was getting a lot of good reviews, so people were probably going to see it sooner than later after hearing it was good. But I just wanted to kind of throw that out there for people that it was released on November 3rd, and we're going to spoil the crap out of it. So if you haven't seen it, then tune out now. But I'm really curious to hear what you think about it. But first, I wanted to know, you've seen the other two Thors.
Yep.
And you've seen the other appearances of Thor in Avengers and all that kind of stuff. So you're all caught up on the Marvel universe going into this, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. I just wanted to like know where, cause I don't read the comics, but I'm totally up on the movies. Now, do you read Thor comics?
I don't. I'm familiar. When it comes to comics, I'm more DC, specifically Wonder Woman, which we all know. But Thor is kind of like, I would call him like the Wonder Woman of the Avengers. I really, really like mythology, which is probably why I like Diana and Thor so much, because Diana is very, very based in Greek mythology. Thor is very, very based in Norse mythology, and both of them are two. I just bumped my tape desk. I'm sorry. Both of them are very, very mythologically based. So you get a lot of like really, really interesting backstories and subculture and I love it. I think it's super dynamic and it makes for a very, very interesting story. So the fact that they took literally characters directly from Norse mythology and put them into a comic book, I thought was kind of interesting. There are some differences. So I guess most of my knowledge about Thor is due to the mythology and then how that ties into comics just from some research that I've done. But you see a lot of like similarities between like what I've studied about Norse mythology and the films. And it's really interesting to kind of see where they've pulled things from and what they've done with it. But yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Nice.
I'll go with that.
Because I've got a circle of friends that are they grew up reading Marvel comics, and I was not, for whatever reason, I didn't get grabbed by that. I was an Image comics and then DC and only specific DC stuff. Like, I didn't even really like Superman comics. I loved Superman cartoons and Superman movies, but I was never a big Superman comics guy. But I loved Batman comics, you know, for big stories, you know, stuff like that. So I've been. People, and because I'm an artist, people just assume, oh, you must be a giant comic head. It's like, nope. Now, nope. Ask me if I've read every volume accessible to Calvin and Hobbes. Yes, because comic strip artist, that was more my niche, right? So when it comes to movies like Thor Ragnarok, I always have to lean back and be like, okay, so is this being inspired by the comic? Is it being very true to the comic? Is it not? Like, because before I come down on good or bad on a movie, I tend to be like, okay, wait a minute. Well, just because it may or may not be my thing doesn't mean that it wasn't like, well, no, that's the book or that's the story. And like, we can't, because there are thousands and thousands of people that are there to see their Thor, you know, that they grew up with and stuff like that. And they have to, I don't envy Marvel at all in terms of the MCU with what they're doing. I mean, trying to do something new, tell modern stories for modern audiences, but then also, you know, be true to comics and stuff like that. And I mean, ultimately you're talking about, you know, a big green guy and a guy that flies with a hammer, and like, you really have to kind of take there's a lot to leave at the door when you go into a Thor movie compared to Captain America movie. Like, he took his super soldier serum and now he's just super strong and can jump. Like, you know, there's not a lot to suspend as far as your belief there, right? Whereas the first Thor movie, I thought, did a really, really good job. Granted, it wasn't super action packed. It did a really good job of kind of like setting the stage for like, okay, this is Asgard. Yeah, you gotta think outside the box here. But like, so technically he's a superhero, but he's also kind of like a god or an ethereal being. Like, and they really gently kind of nudged the Marvel audience from Iron Man and Avengers, you know, Avengers, I don't think had even happened yet. Like they kind of nudged them into that really heavy off world stuff. And I found because of that, Ragnarok was easier on the head. I bring this up because I was in a movie theater with a dad and his kid, and I don't think the kid had seen any other Thor movie other than this one. So he had 1,000 questions and he would never shut up. And it was just like, how did you bring this 7-year-old to this movie without, like, if he doesn't know who Loki is, why is he watching the third Thor movie?
Yeah.
You know, so I just, and I'm curious because like, it's not a movie that you could, I mean, even forget, you know, like a kid situation, like if you're bringing a date and you're trying to introduce them into the Marvel universe, this is not the movie to do that.
It's not. The Marvel universe in general, not even just the cinematic universe, it can be very intimidating because it's unique in the sense that every single story in the Marvel universe all happens within the same universe. Like, it is one universe. Whereas DC are multiple universes. Like, you get, you know, The Flash with like multiple Earths and you get, you know, Earth 3 and like, you know, Power Girl versus Supergirl and how they're actually the same person, but in two separate, you know, dimensions sort of deal. Like, it's, you know, it's very, kind of all over the place. It traverses a lot of space and time, but the Marvel Cinematic Universe is all, it's contained. It's one, it's its own thing. That's why you get members from, you know, the X-Men, such as like, you know, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, who are part of the Avengers, even though they're X-Men. And then that also makes some issues when it comes to, you know, cinematic, you know, production companies who some have ownerships of, like, you know, you can't actually say X-Men. So the fact that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver were in an Avengers movie, but they couldn't actually say what they were. They're mutants. They're part of the X-Men universe, but they can't actually say mutants in like the Disney Marvel subsection, whereas like Fox Marvel can, and like, but the Fox Marvel people can't talk about the Avengers, even though that there's a big crossover. And then like Sony is a little bit different. They had to like, Sony had to lend Disney Spider-Man for all this stuff. So it all happens in like one universe, but everyone is in, you know, like they're owned by different production companies, which makes things really, really complicated. So it's, I think that's why Thor is so interesting, because he's this super, super mythological, like, you know, God. He's a God. He's the God of Thunder. That's his title. Mm-hmm. So the fact that this God of Thunder can be dropped into this universe where there's a lot of science, like with, you know, Bruce Banner and Peter Parker and Iron Man, and also have, like, you know, a super soldier from, you know, World War II and all this jazz, like, kind of all come together, and, like, mutants and whatever. It all just kind of works together to be, like, one thing. And it's interesting how they've managed to correlate everything, but it can also be a lot. It's really, really intimidating. And especially with this film, where it's at this point, this is, like, someone saying it's, like, phase 3 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So phase 1 was like the initial set of movies and the first Avengers. Phase 2 was Iron Age of Ultron, and then that's when like Civil War happened.
Yeah.
That's phase 2, and now this is the beginning of phase 3. That's like coming around now. Yeah. So at this point, in order to really, really follow, you should have been watching all of the other movies up to this point, and you kind of have to know a little bit what's going on in the comics.
Yeah.
And I just know from word of mouth, like you know, my roommate Bethley, she reads all kinds of comic books and you know, she just has comic knowledge in her brain that she just spews out at any given moment. I'm like, great, give it to me. I like to know, like, it how it all works together with the comics. Yeah. I like to know that stuff. But some people just like to know how it works within the cinematic universe. But at this point now, or like, there is a teaser at the end of one, like Thanos. I don't remember his name.
Thanos.
He is.
Or Thanos.
Thanos. Yeah. He's a big comic book. He's part of the comic books. He's like a big thing.
Yep.
So when that little teaser came in, people were losing their minds because it's like, oh my God, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. And it hasn't been touched on again in the cinematic universe. Not from what I've seen. I don't remember any instance off the top of my head. But
not Thanos directly. He's been in a couple of films. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Right. Yeah. With Nebula. And
he made a couple of other appearances, but there's been in other movies, his like the gauntlet or the reference to what's coming or it's at the end of Civil War. No, Ultron.
I thought it was Ultron.
It's at the end of Ultron. That's when Thor takes off and ultimately, and this is when we catch up with him. And so he's like, somebody has been messing with us and it got me on my, you know, it's got my attention, and it's not an accident that 3 of the 5 or 6, stones have been surfacing in the last like 2 years. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence. I'm going to go get to the bottom of it sort of thing. And like, so those have been kind of like when the hints have been being dropped. I find there's a lot more Thanos talk in the Guardians of the Galaxy, and stuff like that. And it's, I guess, fitting because he's more of like a intergalactic kind of villain.
He's Gamora's father as well.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah. And I think that, it's good because Marvel, they need a good villain. Like I don't get me wrong. I liked Ultron. I thought that was a good villain, but I feel like they, if they're going to start bringing in, you know, Spider-Man and, Star-Lord and Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like if they're all if they're all going to be together, then the baddie that they're up against or baddies that they're up against, this has to be big. Like it has to be threatening, right? And I don't want it to be. As corny as it can be, I really like the idea of a personified villain. Like I know it's kind of very comic booky for this, you know, giant purple guy in a gold costume to stand there and be like, I am a bad guy, as opposed to like an evil being. But like, I really fall short with, I don't remember the name of the bad guy. I just watched it recently because Doctor Strange is on Netflix, and whatever the name of the bad guy is in that. Oh, and it's a giant cloud. It's like a galaxy eating, you know,
drawing a blank on his name.
Yeah, it's like a face of mist. And it's like, well, not really. Like, I mean, I mean, this is going to sound horribly Neanderthal, like, but it's like, but he can't punch the bad guy. I want him to punch the bad guy. You know, like, it's like, it's the same thing that happened with Green Lantern. It's like, okay, so he's going to manifest all these different freaking apparatus for this cloud yellow smoke snake monster with a human face on it, you know, to beat the bad guy. And I just like that kind of stuff. Like, it's not really like, for me in Green Lantern, I much prefer like Sinestro or like a Lantern gone bad as the villain.
Right.
And so for these kind of things, like, well, cause I mean, you think about it, like you've got Thor who likes to punch stuff.
Yep.
Hulk who likes to smash stuff. Captain America who likes to punch stuff and bounce the shield off people. Black Widow who likes to punch people. Like all
and
of these
stuff,
like, it's all very physical stuff. So if you bring in a villain that's like purely magical and like can just warp your mind, then like great. So now we're gonna watch a battle with Strange, Scarlet Witch, and that's it.
Just... On one hand, I think it's so interesting for those characters who are all very, very physical and very tactile, because when they're up against a villain that they can't punch, it's like, oh, what's she gonna do now?
Yeah.
It's like, how are they going to react to this? But
yeah, well, and it's also the kind of thing that I find troubling with magic, you know, in comic situations, in that it's this weird sort of like, well, wait a minute, like, is it magic or is it technology? Because you got to make up your mind, because
that's
infinite thing.
Yeah, it's the weird thing about the cinematic universe is like there's all these different possibilities within that one Marvel universe, and some of it's science and some of it's legitimate magic, and it's like, which is it? It's everything. Like the universe just has whatever you can conceive. It's all of it.
And
every
goes,
bit of it.
Yeah, it goes back to that first Thor movie too, is because he's explaining it, and at some point, I don't know if it's not an exact quote, but he talks about like, well, it's magic to you maybe, but for us, it's like, this is the technology of how things are. It's this,
exactly.
For him, it's science, but it's science that is beyond human understanding. So it looks like magic to the outside. It's like, you know, it's like we understand, like we have an idea about quantum physics and all that kind of stuff, but it's still, you know, being very much explored, and the average person does not grasp it. Like, I just saw a Facebook post about somebody talking about the Earth being flat, and I was just, it's like, so there are people out there that are definitely not able to grasp quantum physics. I mean,
I work with one, and he was like, no, like, you got to watch this documentary. It'll totally change your mind. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
I saw this, it was a joke post. And it was like, if the Earth was round, then why are shoes like this? And it shows a normal shoe and not like this. And then the underside of the shoe is a concave circle as if to grip a rounded surface.
Oh, it was like, God.
Like, it was basically all the smart people were making fun of the people that thought the Earth was flat. Anyway, it was a very, very funny post. But to get back to Thor Ragnarok. Like, I mean, this whole universe is built up. And like you said, now we're kind of entering into this act three.
Yeah.
And it is a lot to swallow. Like,
there's a lot.
What did you think? Like, where did you land in terms of like, did you enjoy the film? Like, what were your initial thoughts?
I loved it. I thought it was freaking great. Mostly because I think it's really interesting to see how Thor has evolved. But also because it really felt like it was pulled right out of an 80s comic book. That's why I liked it. Like, I sat there after the movie and I was like, was that a real thing I just watched? Mm. Did I really experience this? Or did I wake up from like some kind of like acid trip fever dream or something? What just happened? And I really liked it for that reason. Because I think the Thor comic books were that weird in the 80s. It was literally pulling things directly from the 80s, and I was like, this is crazy. And it was great, but it also subtly tied into a lot of stuff. I'll start with like the cinematics and stuff and like the structure of it. I loved the cinematography. I thought it was beautiful. And usually I don't really focus on cinematography so much. Because I like to focus on the story, but it was so striking. It was so visually amazing and it was so symmetrical and it was so pleasing to watch. And there was that one camera shot where like Loki and Valkyrie are walking across like the glass floor and it like goes up like underneath them. And I was like, what is this shot? It was great. And every single time you see Hela, she was always like perfectly centered in the screen and she was perfectly symmetrical every time. And it was like this really, really amazing position of power that she was in always.
Mm-hmm.
But then they did that for a lot of other characters too. Like anyone who was in a position of power at any given moment was always center frame.
Mm-hmm.
Or anyone who that they were focusing on was always center frame. And I thought it kind of reminded me like a mix of a bunch of different elements. Like I had like the Thor synth music and Tron synth music like pulled in there. So like I felt like a weird Tron element in there with like, you know, like the gladiator fight sort of, because it seemed very futuristic and very like, you know, futuristic retro 80s.
Yeah, absolutely. And they definitely had that 80s vibe. The music is definitely a good cue. And the music kind of corresponds when he's kind of off of... why am I blanking on the name? Asgard. When you're on Asgard, you get more classical score and all that kind of stuff. But then when you're on Name of the World, Skabarth or something? Sakaar, thank you. That was not at all correct. It gets very techie and very, because it's a lot of spaceships and space junk and lasers and machine guns. Like, not what you're expecting with Thor.
For a Thor movie, I know.
Yeah. So that, I guess, threw me. It very, very much reminds you of Guardians of the Galaxy, right? Because any kind of weapon that someone points at you, one, you're looking at it like, I don't know if that's a bludgeon or a firearm. I'm going to have to watch to see if the guy whacks somebody with it or if he shoots out of one of the ends. Like you just don't know. And then the reverse is...
the melt stick.
Yeah, the melt stick. Yeah, like it looks like a jujube on the end of a pogo stick. It's like, oh, that melts people. Good to know. Stuff like that is like, you just don't know what to expect or vice versa. Like you've got someone that's holding an axe and then they point the end of the axe at someone and then shoot a laser beam out of the end of it. It's like, so what, why is it an axe then? Like, I don't know.
Why not? That's the question.
Why isn't
it an axe?
So stuff like that, I feel like I would have done better with it had I had a little bit more of a prep. Like if someone had said, look, it's good, but you gotta go in kind of expecting to swim in the sea of weird.
Yeah, I didn't want to mention anything to you. I was like, I purposely was like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, I'm not going to say anything to Joel. I'm let him experience it.
Yeah.
It's just something you have to experience.
Yeah.
And I had heard good things. I knew from the trailers and things that it was like with, you know, the Immigrant Song, which first of all is the best theme, I think, for a Thor film, because it actually talks about some Norse mythology. When it talks about like Valhalla and mm-hmm. things like in the actual song itself.
Yeah.
But it like, I knew it was going to be kind of off kilter, like just even from like the very, very first trailer. I was like, this is going to be a whack movie. This is going to be different for Thor. It's going to be a little weird. And I was there for it 100%. It is like everything that I like kind of mashed into one film. So I was there the whole time just like, I can't, this is a real thing that's happening right in front of my eyes. And I don't know how to feel about it. I'm just elated. I really liked it.
Nice.
Really liked it.
I had a good time. But see, I don't want to say I didn't like it, because as I kind of like analyze it and think about like, okay, well, what did I like and what didn't I like?
Right.
On a whole, I think it's a good movie. I think it's definitely worth seeing in theaters.
100%.
Just because, like, you know, you come off of the last superhero movie that I know I really didn't like, but has grown on me despite the misgivings, is that Superman v Batman.
Mm.
And I remember leaving that theater going, that is not, like, that is not what I wanted. That's not what I was expecting. And so the word that I was using a lot at the time was disappointed. And I feel like that was my mood with this one. And it's not that it's a bad movie, but it was really not what I wanted out of a Thor movie.
Right.
Because, and part of it might be, and this is a personal thing, because I'm not getting the Superman movie I want, I'm kind of putting like, okay, Captain America, okay, Thor, you're the closest I got right now. So between the two of you, like, give me some Superman, right? And you're not getting, I mean, you're getting it with Captain America more for sure, but,
yeah.
But you're definitely not, not getting that with Thor. And for me, it wasn't the Thor mythos. It wasn't the MCU so much. It wasn't that weirdness, because once, like, if you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy, you know we're out there. And I mean, there's a talking tree for Pete's sake. So like, you know, when you're into, then there's a bug and there's a rock guy and like, so all that kind of stuff is fine. I really loved the visuals of Sakaar. Like, I thought that, you know, it was a really neat concept where, for people that don't know, the Rainbow Bridge, you know, where Thor is able to travel from Asgard to the Nine Realms through the Bifrost. It's a really high concept, kind of like wormhole idea.
Yeah.
But the Sakaar is essentially what happens when these roadways are breached, or if things are come into contact with them that aren't supposed to, and things get torn up and they get misplaced. And so that's how Thor and Hulk and Loki all end up on the same planet, is that it tends to be like, for whatever reason, gravity or physics, there's just, it's, well, gravity is physics. Way to go, Joel. pulling all of these wormholes to this one spot. So it's this giant junkyard planet.
Yeah.
And so it's this mishmash of everything. So artistically, you're looking at these like ruffians that you first see on this planet. You're like, okay, there's like, the people that were designing these costumes and designing this world, and just, we're looking at it like, okay, we need to take every junkyard we can imagine and turn it into this, plus make it a space junkyard, and then take every culture, mask, religion, anything, and just mash it. Just it is a mishmash of everything from the universe, which is really, really cool.
I love that.
Yeah, but very different from Asgard, which is swords. And
and
it's a little bit misleading. Like, I feel like Asgard and the Thor movies do set themselves up for failure a little bit, where you get used to British accents, armor, swords, and strong people. And you're in that Lord of the Rings mood. And so you're expecting like, oh, sweet, this is going to be an awesome, like, punch and sword fight thing. And it's like, nope, Thor just pulled out a machine gun and mowed everybody down. That's,
yeah.
But it's like, but that's not my Thor. You know, like, it just, it, which is silly and shallow to say, because I've known him for all of three movies. It's not like I grew up reading the comics, right? Like, so I don't know all the Ragnarok stuff from the 80s. But I feel like for me, what did fall flat and did kind of take me out of this really grand experience were all the goddamn jokes.
See, I loved that. I liked it because I think that it was very self-aware. The movie was very, very highly aware of itself. And I think it poked fun at itself a lot, which I personally appreciated. Because there's a lot of issues with previous Thor films and what have you. And
oh, yeah. They're not perfect. I'm not saying
they're not a perfect movie. I like them, but they're not perfect movies by any means. And it was a lot of, like, inside jokes as well, which I found, like, if unless you got them, I don't know, they kind of went over my head, but like the first thing that immediately sticks out to me is when Loki, disguised as Odin, is basically like sitting there eating grapes watching theater, and there's like, you know, like the tale of Loki who sacrificed himself for Asgard, like when he faked his death. It was Matt Damon
playing Loki.
In this like play in the movie, and then Chris Hemsworth's older brother.
Yeah, and Sam Neill
was playing Thor in the play.
Yeah.
So
Sam Neill was playing Odin.
It was great, and yes, was it Sam Neill?
Yep.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. That's hilarious, and it was. It was just, apparently the director pitched to Chris's older brother. He's like, you get to play Chris, but make fun of his performance from the last movie. That's how he pitched it to him. And was like, you get to do this. but I heard that like a lot of the dialogue was improvised. Like 80% of it was all improvised to create like this kind of like collaborative mood amongst the cast. Nice. 'Cause they wanted it to feel really, really lighthearted and very, very kind of quirky, because Ragnarok is inevitable. You can't stop Ragnarok. Ragnarok is actually really relevant in Norse mythology. So it is an actual like mythological event that does happen in Norse, you know, stories. And it is caused by Loki. Like, Loki is actually the catalyst for Ragnarok. The way he's the catalyst is a little bit different in mythology than it is in the film, but essentially Loki, like, you know, unseats Odin from his throne and, you know, kills him or does something to him. In this case, he drops him off on Earth and on the sidewalk in front of an old folks' home, and now it's demolished, which I thought was great.
Yeah, I didn't remember that. Like, I don't remember what happened.
I don't think it was ever on screen. No. I think it was mentioned briefly. It's like Loki, you know, after, I think it may have been at the end of Thor the Dark World. I don't remember.
It was at the end of Thor the Dark World. And I remember Loki being on the throne and impersonating.
Yeah, but I don't ever think it mentioned how he got there and he was in Norway somewhere.
Yeah,
somewhere in Norway, I guess.
But Odin at the end of Thor the Dark World, like, I don't remember any departure.
And that's the thing. It's like, at the end of Thor the Dark World, it's like, was this Loki the whole time? Or was it actually Odin? Like, I don't know if it was ever anything that happened on screen. Which, yeah. I get why. I think it may have been a cut scene or something, which is why, like, right. I was initially confused about it, but I did know them. Like, oh yeah, Loki did... it's Loki. He screws things up all the time. Like, he's mischievous. So, like, undoubtedly he would do something. So I just sort of, knowing Loki's character, I was just like, oh, he probably just, you know, it's funny. That's why he did it. That's sort of the thought that I was in.
Yeah, I equate Loki to Mixlpinflick from Superman. Just, you know, it's that chaos theory sort of stuff that is. I mean, it's interesting, I guess, it's in terms of like from a writing perspective sometimes, but I find it hard to watch, you know. I found Loki really hard to sort out in Ragnarok. Like, I found his motivations really odd. And it's like, but that's, I guess, the whole nature of the character. But
yes.
I just don't find it appealing. It's like, oh, wait a minute. So one minute he's helping Thor, the next minute he's not. Then he's cheering for Thor to be beat up by Hulk. Then he's, you know, saying like, I'm going to stab somebody. And then see, and this is the thing. So some of the things happen so fast in this movie. Like, for example, there's a dagger fight between Loki and Valkyrie. I don't even know why it started. Like, I was there and I was listening to the dialogue, and I don't ever remember even an insult before punches were just thrown and people were being flipped. And I was like, what happened?
I think it's a testament to both of their personalities. Cause I think Loki's full thing, like, when you go back and watch the first film, his whole idea, I guess, is that he feels like the throne of Asgard is his right, even though he's adopted. He's, you know, he has this he's a chip on his shoulder. Like, he essentially thinks that he's entitled to more than he really is.
And I get that, right?
Yeah. And then Valkyrie, who, you know, being as she is, she's jaded and she's angry and she's just like, I'll just fight whatever I can. And Loki's there. And so, like, I don't know, it just kind of seems like he doesn't want to be overshadowed by somebody. I don't quite remember what was talked about during the scene, but
and that's the problem that I have with some of the dialogue, is that it's not poignant enough. I appreciate some of the banter, you know, and it being kind of off the cuff, but sometimes you're just watching it. And I was like, okay, I think they're trying to be funny, but this is like, this is the kind of thing that I was expecting to see on like a YouTube outtakes reel.
Mm.
You know, like, there were some moments where it's like, okay, awkward joke. Haha, move on. Nope. Still doing the awkward thing.
I didn't find any of it awkward. Like, I was, that's why I was so alarmed about it. I was just like, I should be way more embarrassed about this movie than I am, because it's like, there are some weird jokes in there, but I didn't feel, I think because it was established right away as a sort of comedy where, you know, Thor's there and he's in this cage. He's like, oh, I bet you're wondering, oh no, Thor, why are you in a cage? And he's like talking to a skeleton, like, as if it's like still alive. And then, you know, when he's having, I don't remember the demon's name at the beginning, who ends up causing Ragnarok. His name is, he causes Ragnarok is an event,
right?
Yeah, Ragnarok is the event, but I don't remember who the actual demon was.
I get confused, because Ragnarok in the comics is the name of the villain.
Oh, I didn't know that actually.
Yeah, and I just I tried to do a little bit of research before the show. I mean, I just saw it this afternoon before recording, so I didn't have a lot of time. But you're right. I can't remember. They talk Surtur. About his. What's it?
Surtur. Surtur. Surtur.
Yeah.
That's his name. So yeah, Ragnarok in this film is the event. Ragnarok in Norse mythology is the event, and then Surtur is the cause of Ragnarok.
Yeah. Because it's his crown that they're talking about.
Yeah.
In the movie, because it's the first scene. Versus that was an awesome fight too. Like that first scene was really cool.
That was great.
Yeah. Especially with the Immigrant Song playing and like there's a really kind of a cool kickoff. The thing that I found very interesting, this is the first time in a while that a lot of the scenes from the trailer were complete bunk. Like they happened, but they happened in different locations.
Yes.
Or the timing was different, or the people were different.
Or the shot was different. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really, the mood of the trailer had a cool song, but the visuals were very Thor and Asgard.
They were.
And they, even in the arena when he's doing the fight with Hulk in the trailer, it still looks very, you know, gladiator and all that kind of stuff. Whereas I find that the way that things were shot in the movie, it's very different. You know, right up to the very first appearance of Hela when she destroys Mjolnir, that wasn't an Asgard at all, where I thought it made more sense in Asgard. You know, like I feel like there was this weird kind of like, oh, this is really not, again, not what I was expecting.